I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 3, Episode 31. The Cadillac V-Series R, LMDH GTP car by Wheeling Engineering and Action Express.
It's a very good pick for a race that happened a couple weeks ago.
Very good pick for a race that happened weeks ago, and the car is owned by NASCAR.
Yes, it is.
Brilliant point. Anyways. Yep. So, but it's a sexy looking car.
It is. But
anyways,
it got beat up a little bit.
Yep. Gets beat up all the time. Hence the reason for the driver's change.
Although not as badly as the other Cadillac the other week.
That's true.
So. Yes.
Anyways, on tonight's episode, we'll talk IMSA from Road America. It was actually a fantastic race.
Mm-hmm.
Came down to strategy to win it, so it was pretty exciting. We will welcome back NASCAR. We have a lot to say about that. Unfortunately, our NASCAR expert is not with us tonight.
What? Not with us? That's too bad. After a week of racing like this, he would be much.
You would have thought.
So, but I guess we'll have to do without him and do our best coverage of it by not talking about it. We'll just skip it.
We know where his priorities lie.
Yeah. Yep. Clearly.
We'll talk news and notes, as they say. Lots of news breaking today.
What broke? Did I miss something?
What broke?
I think I missed something today.
You did miss something.
Clearly. I haven't been paying attention.
You missed something in IndyCar.
Oh, yes. Okay. That news.
That news. I think we're cut. We caught up on all the Formula One news?
Yes, because the last thing that they did...
was Carlos signing?
Yeah, I think it was just Carlos signing.
Okay.
There is a couple of rumors floating around, but that's about it.
Ah, there we go.
So,
one involves an IndyCar driver.
I just remembered there's that one too.
Yeah.
All right.
So let's start with IMSA from Road America.
Yes.
The land of cheese.
It wasn't the Sanzio Grand Prix, was it this time? Or Sargento?
No, it's just the IMSA Sports Car Weekend. That's what they called it.
God, that is the.
You mean the Sargento Cheese Car Weekend? No.
Because IndyCar usually has their race like that. What's IndyCar's? Mm-hmm. They usually have their thing up somewhere. Where is it? Yes, the... Nope. They switched the Sanzio race around. I thought... Oh, no. The IndyCar race this year was Expel Grand Prix.
Right.
A little lame, but...
There you go. Yep. Pretty lame. But anyways, let's start with qualifying. We had the Acuras...
Yeah.
Andretti with Wayne Taylor with Andretti. 1-2 on the pole. On the grid. Which was promising. Promising.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I The 10 car put it on pole by 2.5 tenths over its teammate, and then they were half a tenth ahead of the 01
Cadillac.
Cadillac. So, but then after that, it was a pretty good chunk of time after that.
After that,
So,
about a half second after
yeah.
that, and there was the Proton Mustang sampling 963. It was fourth. The Wheeling car Cadillac was fifth. Then we had the BMWs, the first of the Porsches, the factory Porsches from Penske. Then the JDC Miller car, and then the other Porsche Penske car. And then we had the back of the grid. We had the number 10, number 24 BMW that was crashed. So didn't register a time. But anyways, so that looked promising.
Yeah, it did. And then,
In LMP2, we had a dogfight. We had the AO Racing on pole, 99. That's Spike, right?
yes.
Spike the Dragon. Then we had United Auto Sports, second and third. In GTD Pro, it was a 1-2 for Cadillac. I almost said Cadillac Corvette. And then in GTD, it was the Kerloff Preston Mercedes and the Aston Martin, followed by a Ferrari and then the BMW from Turner. Well, that was pretty mixed up, so that was good. Move on to the race.
Well,
No, good.
just one interesting note, both pro classes, front row lockouts by
Oh,
teammate. So
teams.
yeah.
Yes.
So
Excellent point there.
congrats to Wayne
Those
Taylor
both. Yeah.
and Pratt and Miller for doing that.
Then we had the start of the race. Actually, we no weather issues this year, which was nice. Start of the race. The 40. That's the blue Acura. And that was Louis Delatraz. He took it to his teammate into the first corner. The 40 jumped ahead of the 10, and away we went. Decent battling in the back there. I didn't, overall, it was at that point the Acura kind of pulled ahead, and then they started. Then it started just the whole strategy thing and teams positioning themselves. LMP2 just was a continuous dogfight. So I'm not even gonna, I don't even want to get into it. But it was just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. But it was like three or four cars, which was good. And then we had a kind of a bad weekend for the Lexus team.
Yeah,
They
not the BOP didn't quite favor them too nicely
no,
this week.
no,
But
no. And then we had an early dropout also by the GTP BMW. So that was a tough
yeah.
one.
But I mean, then again, that is the point of BOP. So I'm
Yes, it is.
gonna have some tracks where it's strong and others where it isn't. So.
Right. And so as teams cycled through their pit stops, the Porsche, the pa factory cars sort of started to push to the front. And this is when it kind of got a little. I think this is where it got. I think it took an interesting twist. The two Porsches and the two Acuras kind of went at it. The Cadillacs had a couple of offs here and there. So, the Ganassi car had a got caught up in someone else's mess and lost a Seb lost about Bourdais lost a bunch of time, unfortunately, having to get the front end fixed. So that kind of took him out of contention. Girardi and Aiken were in the mix, but they just kept having missteps over their own feet, breaking themselves into a corner. They overran Canada corner, had to get out into the marbles there. They did take a little bit of a off-track excursion on the final corner on one lap, so they lost time there. Didn't lose a lap, but they just, you know, just lost time to being up front. In the meantime, as the pit stops kind of flew, the number 40 made the first move towards the end of the race to pit, and thought it was going to work. And what they did with the strategy there was the 40 pitted, you know, for the win, and the 10 was kind of going to be the rabbit, and they were going to end up, they pitted early, and then they were going to pit late and then make a charge to the field. So that's how they kind of split the strategy here. Unfortunately, the 40 ended up with a drive through, which knocked it back to eighth place. Didn't lose a lap, but, you know, lost that amount of time that they had. Unfortunately, Delatraz, once again, just a mental mistake. I don't know how many more they're going to take. You know, the kid's good, but he's just, you know, mistakes here and there. In the meantime, the two factory cars up front were going at it. Cameron and Nazar had the lead for the longest time as they came through traffic, but it was Nick Tandy who pushed his way through traffic and made the right moves and went on to take the checkered flag. Ricky Taylor finished third. New tires and everything, he just kind of, he got to about, I think, how many seconds was he back? Was 1 second back. He got to about a second back and he just couldn't close from there. And it was a combination of traffic, and I think the tires had kind of peaked at that point. So, good effort there, finished third. And then the wheeling car finished fourth. Down in LMP2, it was an upset as Ben Keating and Ben Hanley took charge of the race late in the race and held on to win over Jerry Crout and Scott Andrews in the JDC Miller car. Good outing for them, considering it was like a one-off outing for them. And then Spike was third with DL in Wiltshire in the Arrow Motorsports car, fourth. In GDD Pro, it did not go Corvette's way.
No, you don't say so.
No, no. It was Nikki, who's the Katzberg? Katzberg got caught up on the first lap. He got speared at turn five by
run over
Rockefeller.
Dumped.
No, Rockefeller. He went in, but he locked it up, and the car kept going. And unfortunately, he tagged the Corvette. The Corvette stalled. They got him going, but he was playing catch up from there. Not quite sure. Garcia and Sims. I'm not sure that they just. I think they lost pace during the race. And from that point on, it wasn't even the Lexus were out, so they weren't even in it. Towards the end of the race, a lot of traffic came into play. They were, you know, obviously the GTD cars in between all of the prototypes. But at the end of the day in GD Pro, in a one-off entry, the Conquest Racing Ferrari 296 of Daniel Sarah and Giacomo Alto took the win. So, Daniel Sarah, son of Chico Sarah.
Yeah,
Brian Sellers and Madison Stowe were second. That was, I think, their best outing of the season, followed by Harder Racing, Gunn and Rivera. So they continue on a strong thing. And then in a out of nowhere win in GTD, Turner Motorsports once again gets the fuel strategy right, and they win. Robbie Foley and Patrick Gallagher, followed by the McLaren of Inception Racing. And then somehow, this is absolutely amazing, the Gradient Racing Acura NSX finished third in GTD.
Yeah, I mean,
considering that this might have been where Ricky lost the second, they got into the back of Ricky Taylor in turn five. So we had an Acura on Acura crime there. What a GTD car was doing, trying to mix it up with a GTP car, I have no idea. Still surprised. So they finished third, but I'm sure there was quite a conversation after that about that incident. Mm-hmm. So kind of where we ended up. And then the rest of the weekend was jam-packed. The Porsche Cup, Mustang Challenge, and the Michelin Pilot Challenge. Unfortunately, didn't get to see any of those.
No, but we did have our favorite team win in TCR.
Oh yeah, the Alpha one. Yep, the Alpha one. So it's feast or famine at Road America for the Alpha. It either goes in flame or wins.
It's feast or famine every race with that car. If it finishes, it wins. If it doesn't, if it doesn't win, it doesn't finish the race.
That's right. Anyways,
I mean, not every race, but you know, like in general, that's what it feels like with that car.
That's what it feels like. All right, so let's quick look at the points. Cameron and Nazar are 100 points ahead of Tandy and Gemini. Who have a 75-point lead over Bourdais and Van der Zander. Aiken and Durrani are next, and then we have the two Acuras, and then the two BMWs. Everyone else is running the Endurance Series, so the Lamborghini doesn't factor in.
Yeah.
All right. Quick look at LMP2, if I can get that to pull up. So we have Tom Dillman and Nick Boulay leading. We got a 27-point lead over Felipe Fraga and Gar Robinson. And then there's about 60 points to Dial, who's right now. Ryan's, because they did a driver change in that car, Ryan's solely in third. And he's ahead of Hanley and Keating. Let's take a look at GTD Pro. GTD Pro is still Roxy, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. It was Roxy this weekend. Lauren Heinrich is leading because now Seb Priot is not driving the car. So Lauren, it could be potentially the sole winner. He's got a 76-point lead over Ross Gunn, followed by Ben Barnicote and Jack Hawksworth, and then the Corvette of Garcia Ensign. And we'll move to GTD. It's been a while since we actually went through the points here.
Yeah.
GTD, it's the Windward car of Philip Ellis and Russell Ward leading. Robbie Foley and Patrick Gallagher are... Oh boy, they are almost 200 points behind. So right now, that's kind of where that is.
Yeah, but the IMSA point system is like, it's a lot of points that they
put into a round. Yeah, so if you have a problem, you can switch it up, you know, pretty quickly. Next up for GTD is and GTD Pro is VIR.
Yes.
LMP2 and LMP2. Oh, wait a minute. It's actually Indy the next race. No, hold on.
No. It should be.
No, it's VIR.
It should be VIR.
Yep. So that'll be GTD Pro and GTD. That'll be a GT car festival. And then we go to Indy after that. for 6 hours, and then we finish the season at Road Atlanta. So still three races left for the GT cars, two left for the LMP and GTP cars. And we have like 16 hours of racing for those guys, so quite a bit left to go.
Yes.
All right. And just on some IMSA, we'll talk some IMSA news right now. It was confirmed after the Road America race that Gradient Racing will be switching to a Mustang for 2025. And they will be retiring the Acura.
Yeah, it's unfortunate to see and, Acura go, but
yeah, don't know. Then see if they'll end up somewhere else with another team. but and Gradient's been a long time Acura's supporter. But we have, and it'll be two new drivers in the car. Also, so we'll see what happens. They'll still be in GTD AM or whatever you want to call it. But there we go. All right. Why don't we move to before we get to NASCAR? Let's talk some other news. IndyCar.
Hold on. We're saving NASCAR for last.
Yeah, I'm gonna save it because I was kind of hoping our NASCAR expert might have a change of heart and call in, giving him an opportunity.
All right, we need to make sure he's aware of this.
Gonna get him on the bat phone.
Yeah. We'll get him on the phone.
All right.
Sorry. Continue. News this week.
Big news in IMSA, IndyCar. And this had kind of percolated up last week along with another story. Marshall Pruitt had thrown this little nugget out about Malukas. Marshall had heard a couple things. He reached out to Malukas, and he denied having a deal in place with the team that one of the teams that Marshall was led to believe. But he didn't say much more. So listen to Marshall's podcast that he released this week. You know, he kind of explained the whole situation. Marshall did allude to two options that were left. Well, three. It sounded like he was not going to be going back to MSR. That's Marshall definitely thought that was not happening. But he'd gone down the road with RLL getting excluded. He thought it was going down the road of Prema or maybe Foyt. So, but with Foyt, you know, it's like Santino brings some cash to that. Stingray Rob brings cash, but with Malukas, you know, he's been trying not to have to, you know, fork over the money. So, you know, that was kind of why Marshall was kind of a little bit on the fence about that. But news broke today that Malukas has signed with Foyt.
Yeah, definitely in
2025. Now I'm gonna take it. I like to take it one step further too. I think it's great for Foyt now. I know we like to have fun with Santino, but he has finished in the top 10 this year, quite a bit.
Yes.
So, good news there. So, I think with Malukas and Santino, I think that kind of moves them in another direction. Now, I'm curious where the sponsorship from Malukas' car is going to come from. That's what I'm curious about. Because in the articles that have been put out there by everybody, David is going to be a paid driver. There is no family money going to the team.
Yeah.
So sponsorship. Now I'm kind of curious. He's a young American, and he's not as I would say volatile as Santino. So you know, if I was
a certain high level team that was had an affiliation with the Foyt team and have a driver or two that one driver who might be out of contract in the next year or two. Might I want to bring that young American in? That being Penske. And I know you guys are all for Rossi, but I think Penske's gonna try and go younger because they gotta start backfilling. I hate to say it. I know Newgard and McLaughlin are not old, but Will's north of 40, so
Yeah, I just
I'm curious.
I guess the only thing of why I'm sticking to Rossi is just like he seems like a very good Penske driver.
Yeah.
The attitude and how he carries himself.
The professionalism. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Although it's saying that I don't know if the his comments on his podcast are helping him, but we'll see.
I haven't listened recently,
just him, like many other drivers, frustrated about the St. Pete weekend earlier this year.
Oh yeah, well, so, you know. So what are you saying? Colton's not going to be driving there.
There's a bunch of guys that I'm sure would love to have that seat, but just because it'll be a competitive car every week, pretty much. A lot of the guys have been a bit more outspoken, so.
Well,
I wonder how that'll play into it, yeah.
And some of the guys on Penske haven't been so transparent. So
that's true.
Two-way street. So
it does.
Anyways, now we're still stuck with. So now we have an open seat at MSR, and obviously, like, you know, logically, you would think. Well, I have to think that Rossi's a candidate for that seat.
Yes.
Okay. I also have to think, I think Rossi's a candidate for three seats. I hate that I'm going to just get down this road. Okay. I think four. I'm going to say four seats. And one is probably not even in play, but it could be in play. I think the other two of note are Rahal Letterman, who would definitely adding Rossi to that roster would actually I think up their game quite a bit.
Yeah,
that's just my opinion. I think he'd be, you know, I think he'd be a good compliment to Graham, and they got Pietro there, so I think there that would be a good, possibly good fit. But Yuri Vips now is in play too.
Right. And Lundgaard is...
So,
where's Lundgaard going?
He's gone. He's going to McLaren.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. So,
so it's a question of whether or not Pietro comes back or Rossi goes over. And if Vips goes, then it's either Rossi replaces... Well, Vips is going to do one of two things. He's either going to replace Fittipaldi and Rossi's going to replace Lundgaard or vice versa.
Yeah.
And if Pietro stays, because he is able to generate sponsorship, I think Vip's going to take the ride, and that would put Rossi into the MSR or possibly Prema. Mm-hmm. Now, Prema, he's getting paid. He's not going to be bringing any money there. He does, I think he ran with them in Formula 3 or Formula 2. Not 100% certain, but I think he did. So he knows the team, basically. But the other thing is, could he go to Ed Carpenter Racing?
Other than potentially not having a competitive car week in and week out. I mean, you would definitely be good,
well,
fine on the ovals.
What? Well, Rinus, it's Rinus VK, right?
Yeah.
It's down there. The problem they have is the second driver. Okay. Now, Ed's fine on the oval.
Yeah.
It's their second driver that they, you know, have a problem. They always go three cars on the ovals. You know, that's where their issue is. So if, let's say Rena stays, Rossi goes there, you know, Rossi elevates that car.
I mean,
okay.
I guess my only question is, can they afford him?
Can Ed Carpenter Racing afford Rossi?
Yeah, because who's the other driver?
Where does Ed get his money?
That's a good point. I'm not.
Who's his stepfather?
Oh, I don't know this. Hold on, I could probably Google search it. Or hold on,
it's Tony George. It's Tony George.
Okay.
So he's got. That's a lot of that. A lot of the infrastructure money comes from the George Holman family and their businesses. Okay. Then they go and get sponsorship, things like that, to move the team along. So, yes, I think they could. Also, Rossi and Carpenter own a plane together.
Okay. Yeah.
They're tight. Okay. So that's kind of where I'm kind of like, if things fall through, then Rossi may land there.
Yeah.
I think my personal opinion, I think he's going to MSR.
Yeah. I think MSR would be the more logical seat. Because the other thing, too, is it's not, I don't know, I wouldn't discount Christian Rasmussen either. It's not, he's not terrible, but I understand.
No. I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
But then you have, if Vips goes to Ray Hall, but then you have two other guys that are floating around right now, and that is Teo Porcher and Callum Ilott. Now, the question is whether Callum stays in WEC with Joda going to the Cadillac perk. Does he stay there? Or does Porsche want to keep him? Because they did have, you know, that's the car. That car, as a privateer car, won a WEC race.
Yeah.
So those two, so Ilott's probably held in high regard at Porsche. So the question is, does he stay with Joda and go into the Cadillac program? Or is it, you know, but he does want to do IndyCar. So, you know, there's that. So there's those two guys, and, you know, they're floating around. I could see Teo going to probably Prema, and if they go the young driver route, even though he says he doesn't want to, you know, he wants to be a pay driver, I would have to say that that's the spot where Sargent lands, unless he goes to Dale Coyne and he's going to have to pay there.
Right.
So, but that's all I got right now. So, interesting.
Yeah, sure is.
I have to think. The new Rossi's news is, I think that Rossi's the next one that's going to be signed.
Yeah, I mean, he seems like the biggest puzzle piece to
right now
to fall into place. Yeah, because once he goes, that'll either make stuff less complicated or could make it more complicated, depending on if he does something that's completely out of the realm of what we're thinking right now too. So,
right. So that, you know, so, but that was a very surprising move today. So, but, I think there's somewhere else that this might lead with Maluka. So, but I think it's good news for Foyt, and, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
All right.
Should we jump to NASCAR real quick?
Yes, we should.
Oh, wait. Who did this?
It's your favorite Nathan Lavender. That's who it is. Oh. How's it going, folks? It's been a hot minute.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, man. He found the soundboard.
We get to break up these soundboards. But, I mean, Where do I begin?
Before we start this, are you at sea? Yeah.
No, I'm not at sea. I have a ship assignment.
I know that.
And I should be... I'm going to be shipping out Monday, I think, is the ship out date. But I should be leaving the campus to go to Norfolk, Virginia, because the Maersk Montana is the ship I'll be getting on. And that ship
leaves from Norfolk.
Yep, yeah, yep, the port there. So,
yeah.
And then I'll be heading over to Europe. So, Belgium, the Netherlands, St. Max.
F1 correspondent live.
Yeah. Right, and Germany. I'll say hi to Vettel, right? Hulkenberg. Mm-hmm. So
nice.
Oh yeah. So it's right. Europe. So I'm excited. Anyway, NASCAR.
Excited to have Nate, our NASCAR expert, back.
I couldn't bite my tongue over this race. I mean, just
no. We couldn't.
You know what I mean? This was
so. This race, I like Richmond.
I do, and can I just begin that we had the option tire too? So this was this was kind of a interesting.
It was kind of like an IndyCar race.
Yeah. So we had the traditional tire, right? Or IndyCar, right? The two option tires, right? So kind of had that flavor too.
Prime and the option.
Yep, prime.
The only drawback to this race, and I it's kind of good that the race was on Sunday because I think Saturday we got it rained out, but it's like, why is it on Sunday? I know why it was on Sunday because it was the Olympics. It was the end of the Olympics, so they put it on Sunday. I mean, which was fine, but anyway.
And here I am watching some of the Olympics and going, like, hearing Lee Diffie still. I'm like, oh, he's following me. Like, you know, and then I look around and there he is.
Yeah.
And you it's get funny to, that-
You get to have them all next year on NASCAR. So.
Isn't it great? Like, and I'm hearing other students play the different like racing events, like the 400 meter, right? Yeah. And then I just hear his voice. I'm like, oh my god! Like, about to have a stroke.
Did he say young Jordan Taylor?
No. Richardson comes across the line. Like, you know, I'm just oh my god.
Let's get into this race. From the get-go, I mean, we don't really need to talk much about the race. We just have to talk about the last.
Oh, we don't?
Literally.
Oh, okay. All right. Because, Daniel Suarez, because he was one of the first drivers to get on the softer tire and made amazing time through the field.
Yes,
and Michael McDowell. So there's some things to note with this special tire. Right. I think it was.
But also,
that was a huge
also the, hold on.
the star of the race.
Yeah.
No joke. Is one of our all-time just hated drivers, Austin Dillon. I mean, legit led the race.
Yeah, legitimately had a fast car.
And Nate texted me going, he's going to win this. And we were both like,
I really,
God knows.
I really hated saying this. I was like,
yeah, I know. It was killing us. It was killing us.
Nate, you said we're going to talk about the whole race. When does the whole race ever matter in a NASCAR race?
Oh, you got stage one, you got stage two,
I'm going to stick to my point. I understand what happened this race. I understand what happened this race, but
it's you watch the first 10 laps and then the last 10.
That's all you need. That's all you need. And this week, you needed was the last two.
But I enjoyed all the laughs. I sat there.
No, you didn't.
I didn't enjoy all of it.
You were going to kick that TV in. You were ready to kick that TV in.
Oh, but I'm Sean. I'm getting there.
Right. Right. So, you know. So we get. You know, Nate's texting. I'm like going. This is not happening. This is possibly like Santino Ferrucci winning a race.
And, like the way he would win a race too.
Yeah, Oh, exactly.
Dude, and out of four, like, you know, wheel someone else and
I'm just sitting there going, this is gonna suck. And then we pan to Ricky Stenhouse. I'm like, oh,
look, it's a bird. And, it's a plane. No, it's
and he goes,
wrecking someone.
Who was it? Did he go Justin Haley he went under?
No, Ryan Preece.
Ryan Preece. He went under. Yeah. Well, I thought at first it was Ryan Preece's fault, but I rewatched it.
No, Ricky Stenhouse forgot how to drive.
Yeah, forgot how to drive and clearly just drove into him. This is a
right foreshadowing. In front of the leader, Austin Dillon.
Yeah, foreshadowing what is to come. And the best part was plows it into the fence and the yellow flag comes out and we got to go green white checker. And Grandpa Richard is not happy.
No. Neither is Austin.
Austin. I think at that point he probably I think he might have soiled his pants.
Yeah, because couldn't camouflage that.
Yeah, right. With the hunter
coat. Yeah, right.
Because he's a big outdoorsman. And so now we now everybody pits.
And on the soft tire, everyone's on the soft tire.
Now they go onto the soft tire, right?
Yep. Max Crew.
So they come out.
What's the worst that could happen?
Right. Yeah, you never know. Comes out, and everyone's going, you should really take the top lane because that's where the most grip is. And what's he do?
He takes the bottom. Austin
takes the bottom. Yeah. Okay. So now
he takes
the bottom and puts himself in probably the worst spot possible.
On the restart. And against the guy who's been great at restarts all year.
He's got Logano, not with the web glove. Did you get that? Not with the web glove?
I did. Okay.
On the outside.
I was just gonna let it roll.
What do you got?
There it is. Yeah.
Right
on cue.
This is a whole new level with this. and then we have right behind him. This is probably the person. There's two guys. This is three of the guys that I absolutely hate in NASCAR.
All together.
The only thing that would have made it was Brad in fourth.
He would have just stuck through. And hey, can I bring something up real quick?
Yeah.
How about that Darlington race? I've been waiting to just break out that. But anyway, so back to the race.
Unfortunately, we didn't see it, so I can't even remember it. So now we, you know, set the field. We come around and. The waxed eyebrow kid doesn't even get it going. I'm surprised Denny didn't turn him. He didn't go.
He didn't go. And Joey Logano had a great run on the outside.
Went all the way around the outside and cleared him. And Jeff Burton like almost had a heart attack.
And Steve Littard.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Those two, anyway.
Yeah, they're trying to explain to everyone the soft tire and the primary tire, right? It to everyone. Great quality television, right? So.
Yep. Almost as bad as what they bring to the 24 Hours of Daytona, which is nothing.
Nothing.
And so we, Joey gets out, goes around, gets the white flag. I'm like, well,
here we go. All right, Joey, come on.
And I'm on the anybody but Dillon thing here because I just feel like I'm not. I can't take this.
I'm actually like kind of in the seat going like, thank God.
Thank God. Goes down the back straight. What do you think, Nate? Car and a half, two car lead, length lead?
No, three or four car lengths, I'd say.
You think it was three or four?
Yeah. Because it was a
Joey rolls it into three like you always do.
Joey's got this, and then I hear torpedo noises. Then,
yeah, this was like unreal, like just
He was never going to make the corner.
Literally, he was never going to make the corner, and he literally took him out.
Do you think he was trying to let Joey Logano know about the Bass Pro Shops hunting sale? Is that what it was?
It could have been. Could have been. Takes him out. Takes him out. I got nothing on it. He clearly took him out. So Logano spins around.
Cleaned him out. All right. Right. And here comes
now
Denny Hamlin.
Now, Dylan, with his fantastic car control, bounces off the wall, comes down, gets it straightened out. All of a sudden, Denny goes by, realizes he goes by, and turns left right into his right rear and hooks Denny and takes him out.
You know,
and like Denny goes into the, like, he went heavy into the wall.
Pancake the wall.
He did. He pancakes the wall, and there he goes. He wins. Missed the 32nd yeah. point, wins, and now is in the playoffs. And
I think that's the first time in NASCAR history that I've seen like second or third place take out two cars just to win a race.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's never happened at Daytona.
All right.
No other short track either.
So,
I don't think that's ever happened.
You know, needless to say, that started the whole thing. Now, then we got, Joey goes in the pits. And there's like, 8,000 members.
He did a burnout.
Right, he did. I know, but there was 12,000 members of the Dylan Childress family there. And it's like, apparently he's up for attempted murder on all of them, apparently. Because Grandpa Richard wasn't too thrilled with that.
Oh, what do you think?
Denny was looking to do something, but I think Denny just did it. You know, but the one thing, and I really wish he did it because Tyler Reddick was going to clean him out.
Coming to the checkered.
He was going to clean him out after the checkered, and I think somebody on the radio said "don't," and he let off.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Damn it,
come on." Come on. Well, speaking of which, Sean, you know what the crew member in the spotter crew chief said to Dylan
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. We get up. He does his whole shenanigans. Gets out of the car, and it's like
Dylan.
It's Logano. Dylan? This is where I absolutely agree with Logano.
Okay, all right.
It's like, thank God, all that crap. And he's literally said crap. And I go, it is.
And then he
pulls the ultimate Bush move, and he kicks his kid. Because this way, no one's going to come up. And
yeah, no one can
touch fight.
All right.
There's going to be no fight. All right? He's hiding behind a two-year-old.
Yeah. Oh, I got a two-year-old. It's fine.
Right. The only other thing that he could have hit behind was Ty.
And he's actually in 32nd, right, in the race.
Right. And the best part was, I will say this, the interviews outside of him, because he's like, I had to do whatever. I can't, I'm done with him. The interviews with Logano, Hamlin, this is like the most I've watched a NASCAR race all season, like after the race.
Yeah.
And even like Darrell Wallace. Darrell goes, I was going to congratulate him. But not now, because he realized he got hosed.
Well, because he's on the bubble. I think he's on the
bubble. He's on the bubble. Is right now he's even more hosed. So it was somebody else. I forget who else. Was it Suarez? No, did Suarez have a win?
He has a win.
Oh, he does. All right, there's somebody else.
Won Atlanta
got hosed too. But oh my god!
But there's a lot of players now that are like kind of on the fence now. Chris Buescher, right?
Yeah,
has to win.
Right, has to win. Right. So this turd with this move, Anyways, so Nate, let's talk about it. All right,
let's check it out.
That was not a bump and run.
No, that was not. No, that was okay. That was more
now,
than a bump
all.
And
I
run.
That all was I a, get.
That was a,
all right.
Screw
so
you.
All I get is. Right, and then you get I don't know where you get these fans of Dale Sr. They're all like, oh, Sr. would have cleaned them out too. No, Sr.
No!
would have cleaned them out. He would have. You would have got the bump and run, or Dale would have put the nose of the car down on his right side into your left rear and moved you. That's what you were going to get from him. Everyone's going, oh, he would have cleaned him out. Yeah, I got no. He would have cleaned him out if he was like 15th place and you wrecked his race. He would have cleaned you out, but that wasn't going to happen. So that can go out the window. But that was not a bump and run.
No, by no means. But that's the thing. A bump and run is one thing, but he took out two cars.
And I have no problem with a bump and run on a short track or intermediate.
Fine.
Or a short. That Richmond's a short track, right? Because it's not really an intermediate, right? So you see it in modified racing, everything. The bump and run. Now, when you see guys torpedo guys on short tracks like that, that guy is gone. He's lucky he gets back to the trailer in one piece. And
well, that's just it. And how does it trickle down from there? Right. This is at the top tier.
Right, and this is where Denny went with it, which I 100% agree with Denny on. This is bad. I'm like agreeing with Logano and Denny. This is like not even good.
what universe are we in? Like,
right? I know, really, really. It only took Austin Dillon to open the what do they call that? Scientific thing, you know, whatever. Anyways, you know, the hole in the universe or whatever, you know, to get the universe to the line. Jesus H. I mean, then not even bump and run him, but then he hooks Denny.
Just dead left.
What is that? What's the one thing in NASCAR they hate when you hook somebody in the rear, right?
Yeah. And they did this to
Darrell
Chase Elliott. Chase Elliott. Darrell Wallace.
Darrell Wallace.
Yeah, he did it to Kyle Larson at Las Vegas. And Chase Elliott did it to Denny Hamlin in the Coke 600 one year.
Yep.
And suspensions, fines, all that. But where is the suspension fines? This was worse.
This was way worse. And where is NASCAR right now? Hasn't said a what did we hear from Elton Sawyer? Oh, we'll know by Tuesday. We have to look at the data and say, no, look
today's
at
what? Tuesday.
Today's Tuesday.
Tuesday. I haven't today's heard anything Tuesday. Except Denny Hamlin go off.
Right. Well, no, then we had Austin Dillon, like, he was kissing ass on Dale Jr.'s show, and I was like, I lost all respect that Dale Jr. had him on there. I was like, ah, really? You know?
Well,
and the biggest thing out of this is they're gonna fine Logano for his antics in the pit lane. And I'm going to go, well, what were 37,000 members of the Dillon Childress family doing in the pit lane on a live track? That's what I want to know.
The cars are still coming down pit road. You can't have all those people.
So that whole thing. I'm surprised. You know what it was? I'm surprised Grandpa Richard didn't arm them all with weapons, you know? Like, I'm surprised.
Yeah, there's a sale going on. Come on. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, and, you know, but. Anyway.
Oh, my God. It's just too easy.
I'm still, like, this is like, where is this going?
Right.
Because
but now
he is. Gonna, I mean,
they don't care.
I'm going to guarantee.
They're only gonna
apparently NASCAR. No, NASCAR doesn't care because RCR won. Now, if that was Kyle Busch who drives for RCR did that, Kyle would be like right now be banned from like NASCAR for life. Right?
Yeah.
Now.
Like, oh, you're out of the chase. You can't do it.
Yeah. No, right? we'll see you in
2026. You can keep the win, we'll but we're taking out of the chase.
Yeah, we'll see you in 2026.
Yeah, some BS.
You know, that like Kyle's gone for the entire year and a half. But this turd stayed. I mean, this kid has – Logano's right. He's got no talent. He has zero talent. He won the Daytona 500 by wrecking everybody.
Yeah.
There's no he has no consequences because he's got – as long as Grandpa's, like, funding the ride, he's got no consequences. It's friggin' ridiculous.
But this is how he's gotten all of his wins. They're all Mickey Mouse wins.
He's wrecked somebody.
How did he win the Daytona 500? Sean, how did he win the Daytona 500? He dumped Eric Almirola.
Yeah, he dumped him. Right? He dumped him. At 200 and something miles an hour, he dumped him. Like, come on.
I know. If it was any other driver,
right,
they'd lose their ride. They'd lose their ride.
So the guys that are on the bubble right now. So Buescher, Wallace, and whoever else there is, they have every right to.
Kyle Busch has to win a race now. And he's someone I think would go further than 16th in the playoffs. So
Well,
something to think about.
Man, I really kind of wish Reddick cleaned him out, though. I really do.
Just after the race, like, well, because you have both the right, cars finishing second and third.
Right? It would have been it just would have been him and it. But you can see right as he got there, he kind of slowed up, and it was like somebody was on the radio telling him, and I was like, oh, you dummy, you could have just done it. You know, it would have been like it would have been almost as good as who did Kenseth wreck?
Oh, Logano.
Yeah, that would have been almost as good as, right?
Come on, man. I know you're on the side tonight, but let's not forget everything.
No, I forgot. I couldn't remember. I forget. Yeah. I keep forgetting, like, it's Logano, but it's, yeah. I just couldn't remember because I'm, like, all wound up about this. I know, and I'm on Logano's side, and that, but they are, both of those guys are 100% right.
Absolutely. Oh. Because now it's like, moving forward,
what, and then what Paul mean? Wolf.
Is Denny Paul? Yeah, Paul Wolf.
He had a lot to say, and he's absolutely right. He goes, "Oh, so I guess this is like this sets the tone for every young driver coming up through here that you can just wreck your way to the top. That's what it is."
But you know what else, Sean? You know what?
But you can't. You can't because you can't. You can't do it unless your dad owns the team or your grandfather owns the team. Because there's only a certain point you're gonna like. You know, at some point, like, dude, you can't keep wrecking cars because we can't afford it.
Well, think about this too, Sean. Look, because Denny Hamlin said this on his podcast. He was like, you know what this does? What? Think about Phoenix, right? All you have to do is wreck three other cars and you win the championship.
Right.
That's what this is starting to, stir into. And he's 100% right because there's going to be that. If that's what is allowed, forget it.
Yeah.
Forget it. You got yourself.
Yeah. I mean, you can't.
Serious
in open
mess.
Wheel, in open wheel racing, you can't. You can. Christian, it's more track limits, right? Open wheel racing. Or the weaving under braking.
Well, because it's one move. Like if you're going to block or someone, because remember, Castroneves got hosed on a restart at Edmonton one time and freaked the fuck out an official.
I mean, on the roadside of stuff, they've been trying to get it down to the one move, and then that's all you can do. But you can't. But that one move can't be in reaction to another driver. So, right. The thing with open wheel racing or any formula car racing is you. It's not advantageous to do it. All that often because there's a huge risk that you're going to wreck the car and your race is done.
Right.
Whereas with like sports car racing, you can, or I shouldn't say sports car racing, any race with fenders on that you can, that you're not as much of a risk with, like you can get away with it.
Yeah. But the difference is between NASCAR and everyone else. Let's take open wheel out of it because, I mean, in open wheel, look, there's penalty, okay? Regardless, if you cross track limits, you move under braking, whatever, you know, there's a drive-through penalty, whatever. In sports car racing, if you did what Dylan did, one of two things are happening. Or, yeah, you're going to get a drive-through or you're going to get the old, stop, you know, come into the pits and stop and hold.
I mean, the good thing about IndyCar and WEC, I'll say, is whether they're right or wrong, they dish out penalties pretty quick. And you know.
IndyCar needs, yeah.
They wait until
IndyCar with the penalties, I agree. IndyCar with the yellow flags is a whole nother thing. But you're 100% right, yeah. Christian. You're 100% right.
So I mean, like there's some series that are on top of that stuff. So like, and it'll be cut and dry about what you're doing. But yeah.
Anyways. But this whole thing from Elton Sawyer. Well, we'll take back the data. We'll look at it. We'll talk about it on Tuesday, and we're like, dude, it's Tuesday, and what are you looking at, and what didn't you have to hear?
Yeah. So
wreck 'em.
As of recording this podcast, nothing has changed.
So I just refreshed. I refreshed my racer page and I got nothing.
No, I know. I just.
But Nate, they have the audio of the guy screaming at him to wreck him.
That's what I mean. That's where it's. It makes not and only then, the driver then, made it worse, and then, but now it's then, like you have someone got, saying this.
Then you got Grampy Richard going. He did what he had to do. Oh, so he can wreck. He can wreck anyone, right? It was so. That was just. It was just. You know what? There's a reason. Honestly, there's a reason why people call it NASCRAP, and that's one of the reasons. And there's another reason why they want. You know, NASCAR fans want to be taken seriously. They're racing seriously, and then this demolition derby happens. I mean, hell, in 2 weeks I can go to the Marshfield Fair here in Mass, and you know, watch the demolition derby, and some guy's going to just take some guy out. You know, come on, that was exactly what that was. This was garbage.
Yeah.
I was looking through Twitter, and I mean, Twitter freaking blew up after this. But I think the best tweet was, what was it? It was iRacing saying, like, don't do this. That one had me laughing on the floor.
Their social media has been pretty good of late.
Yeah. Like, I'm just like, that. How else can you sum that up?
But, man.
Don't do that.
This is definitely.
Go ahead, Christian.
This stuff is. Like I've gotten into oval racing from all the IndyCar stuff. I've enjoyed it. Got watching more short track stuff. But I mean, again, like just
the high level NASCAR stuff. This is why you can't watch it.
This well, and then I mean, like you guys are saying too, like it will trickle down to the lower levels too. That's just the thing that I can't. Jive with at all in over racing.
Right.
What keeps me away from it? Because it's like, dude, I don't. You can be angry and pissed off that you know you made.
I like watching the modifieds. The reason I like watching the modifieds is it's two things. First, the race is very close, and the guys are very talented, and they. You know what? The bump and run is an art, and that. But the other thing that keeps everyone honest in that it is to a degree open wheel racing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So I have no problem with that. If I go sprint car racing on the pavement with the midgets and stuff, and Christian and I saw this, there's none of that crap going on.
No.
Guys get into it. Guys get into each other just, you know, by happenstance. They don't, there's no retaliation.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's the increasing risk with open wheels it definitely keeps everyone a bit more honest, and that's where it keeps all this crap out.
Yeah, because look, I have no problem in sports car racing, like especially like Trans Am, Mazda MX-5, you know. Mm-hmm. Look, I have no problem with when you give the bump and run. I have no problem with it.
No,
you know what?
Yeah,
I have no problem with it. Okay, when you literally a bump and run is when you're right on the guy's bumper. And you move them, okay?
Right.
When you drive into somebody, that's a whole nother thing.
And you're never going to make the corner.
Yeah. No.
You use them as your brakes.
Yeah. So, Nate, what happens at Michigan this week?
Well, hey, you know, let's. Oh, gosh, I don't know.
Yeah, you have to think two things. Logano.
There's going
to
be a new winner.
Logano and Hamlin are locked in, right? Is Logano's in, right?
Yeah, they're both.
And so is Austin Dillon, Sean.
Yeah, well,
as of right now.
Oh, God.
I know.
Both Hamlin and Logano are in.
Okay, so does payback come this weekend? Or does it come, you know, I think he's going to, you know what, if Logano gets near him or Hamlin gets near him, I don't think they're going to, I think they're going to crowd him.
Okay? They're not going to give a crap, you know,
They're not gonna, because honestly, if you try and wreck them there, you're gonna wreck the whole field.
Well, it's, I mean, it's any of those fast tracks, like Michigan.
Now, when we get to the first race in the playoffs, and assuming he hasn't gotten wrecked yet, he's getting it right there.
Oh yeah. Oh, within definitely the first three races, because they're gonna eliminate him so freaking fast.
Yeah,
they're gonna make sure he's not advancing.
Do we have Watkins Glen left?
The Watkins Glen is the second race of the playoffs. The first round of the playoffs goes Atlanta, Watkins Glen, and Bristol.
You know where I'd love to see it.
Atlanta's the first race.
Yeah.
Oh no, you can't. No, because that's too. No, Watkins Glen. You know where I'd love to see it? Right in the horseshoe.
Oh.
Right as they go into the horseshoe and they just light him up.
That's crazy shot.
I know, but it would be fantastic.
He had a like,
he goes to turn in and they just and someone just cleans him out and he goes to the left of the track, you know, into the barrier on the left.
There's some guys that have had some nasty accidents there, man.
JD McDuffie did not come back.
Yep.
Hence the reason they put the chicane in there. Tommy Kendall. Not in a NASCAR car, but in a sports car.
Mm-hmm. Ryan Newman.
Imagine that. That could be the place he gets wrecked. That might be the place. Do they go to the Roval?
Not until the second round.
Oh, there's another place you could get wrecked.
Well,
is Allmendinger in that race?
I mean, do you?
Yes.
Are the road courses Dylan's strong suit?
No.
No.
Okay. That's why you should wreck them. Because if you wreck them and has a bad finish, then he's liable to get bounced out of the points. And not advance.
No, but why do it at one of his weaker tracks when you could do it at a stronger
track? Because if you try and do it, say at Atlanta or something, you run the risk of if he's in the middle of the pack and they're drafting and ideally it would be a Talladega and he just goes flipping down the back straight. That would be my, all time favorite moment. But that ain't gonna happen.
I don't want to advocate for this guy getting.
Yeah, I know that's what I'm saying. But I was just saying if you take him out at a weaker track, it's harder for him to bounce back.
Why?
He's already behind the eight ball.
I think Bristol would be the better one to do it at. Although,
but Bristol he'll bounce off the wall and take somebody else out. That's what we don't want to have.
I mean,
Atlanta would be much worse for the rest of the field.
How about this? Atlanta, they let him lead and Logano drafts up on him and then takes him out. Would that work?
Last lap.
Again, the whole thing is it'd be
the whole thing probably is, in front of the field. The whole thing is he should be DQ'd and not even in. That's the whole thing. And NASCAR
Now you have a bigger problem.
So now you got the bounty. Like literally, no joke, right?
It's true.
Right. So if you just do the right thing and say he's disqualified. Yep. The win goes to Denny. Finished second. The win goes to Denny. All right, mm-hmm. And he's DQ'd. Then fine. Then the world's all. That's the right thing to do. But you know they're not doing that because we don't want to upset Richard.
No.
Just in some way, if you upset Richard, apparently you're upsetting St. Dale, which is far from, like, anything.
Yeah, and the fans that are watching Austin's Dylan's life in the fast lane.
Like, trust me,
how dare
Dale
you.
Earnhardt Sr. fans are not Austin Dillon fans. Okay?
No,
there is absolutely no way.
there's a big difference. A lot of those fans are...
It's senior... A lot of those fans are pissed that he's driving a number three car. Like, their only feeling is the only person that should be driving the three is Junior. And Junior won't drive the three because he wants his own identity. Well, when he was driving, not now. But, I mean, the three is – I know it's Childress's number, but – anyways.
But Sean, think of this, right? There's three races until the playoffs begin. There's Michigan coming up this weekend. And then we have Daytona, right? The 400 miles there. And then Darlington is the last regular season race. So the Southern 500.
Wait a minute. They go Darlington again?
Yes. Yes, they this go- time it's the Southern 500.
Oh, it's 400. Oh, no, no. I'm sorry. You're right. My bad. Michigan's 400, Daytona's 400, and Darlington's 500.
Darlington's 500. Oh, yeah, that's right. Why is – and somebody tell me why Daytona is not on July 4th.
I'll tell you why. Because they wanted to make it a chase cutoff race for some reason.
Oh,
sorry. And then they moved it up. And now
I know, but
now it goes to the streets of Chicago for some reason,
Anyways, all right.
You were asking questions logically about a situation that doesn't use logic. So
all right. So this weekend we're not going to pick a NASCAR because we don't pick NASCAR. IndyCar, we have Worldwide Technology Raceway this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Yes. All right, Nate. Need a winner?
And a dark horse or just a winner?
Winner and a dark horse.
All right.
I have mine too.
I have, Joseph Newgarden winning. And my dark horse is David Malukas.
Oh, I like that.
You bastard.
All right.
I'm good. What can I say?
Malukas was going to be my dark horse. Now I got to pick something else. I know that was the thing.
Who did you have to win?
I was gonna go McLaughlin to win, and then
It's McLaughlin. Scott McLaughlin.
Yeah. Well, do we have Diffie back?
No, he's done. No.
Oh, that's right. They're done.
He's done.
That's right.
He's done. I think we actually have Kevin Lee calling the race.
Oh man! All right, Thank you. So I got Scott McLaughlin.
Laughlin.
Jeez, the Kiwi. he's gonna win, and then, we'll stick with Malukas. Why not? Because
okay,
we'll just keep it.
I'm gonna go for the win. I'm going to put the curse on Team Penske. I'm going to go Will Power.
All right.
Yes.
And my dark horse is going to be Connor Daly.
That's good. All right. That's a good one.
That is a good one. But you know, Will Power needs these points to
Will Power.
Yeah, he needs these points to be a threat in this championship because it's him and Scott Dixon that have the nearest chance. And not too far behind is Colton Herta and Pato O'Ward.
I know, so but below, we looked at the points before. I think O'Ward he's on the fringe of being out.
Yeah. It's him and Herta.
A win is...
No, Herta clawed his way back into this.
But there's only like a single-digit point difference between O'Ward and Herta, right? Last I checked.
Yes, it is. No. Herta and O'Ward is 14 points between them. Herta and Dixon is 4 points. Dixon and Power is 4 points as well. Second through fourth is tight.
It's tight, right? Yeah.
It starts to stretch.
You know what? This will be the weekend Pillow wins.
I was gonna say Pillow or Dixon is gonna pull something out of the bag and win.
Dixon does. See, I would have picked I can't pick Dixon as a dark horse because he's not a dark horse.
No, he's not. You either pick him or
you don't. Malukas is definitely a dark horse. Yeah. Connor Daly's a dark horse. I would say Romain Grosjean could be a dark horse at this rate too.
Could be.
Just throwing it out there. What about Marcus Armstrong? Could he? Never know.
Yeah.
Sure.
Just for a bigger look on the season, there's five races remaining, and a win for the race is 50, worth 50 points. So total of 250 points up for grabs.
How far is Palou ahead?
Palou is 49. Okay. So, yeah, will Scott or Colton have to make up ground ASAP.
And when we say Scott, we're talking Dixon.
Dixon, yeah.
Wins, Sean.
So
right?
and it goes from 49 to
Chip Lake's winner.
57 yeah. points difference there. So, wow. Or unless Pato goes on a tear and just wins out the rest of the season, which I mean it'll be tough. I mean, like, I mean, Palou hasn't. Well, he's had two races where he's finished outside of the top 10. Everything else has been within the top 5. So, even
hello, Palou.
Even if he finishes 5th for the rest of the 5 races, whoever wins is gaining 20 points on him every race.
Gotcha.
So, and that would.
So he needs like Newgarden or McLaughlin to win this weekend. He finishes, you know, decently, minimizes the damage, and then wins at Portland. Mm-hmm. That's what he's got to do.
Yeah, I mean, he just
and then,
can't.
And then what is it? They go to Milwaukee?
It's Gateway.
There's two races.
It's Gateway this weekend, then they go to Portland, and then it's 2 at Milwaukee, and then they finish at Nashville.
Crash,
so it's
Sean.
It's 4 of the last 5 are ovals.
Ovals, yeah. Milwaukee. I hear Michael Andretti's coming
French?
Back to that race. Michael Andretti's coming back to that race.
Can he fit in the cockpit?
No, he can't. No, I think I might be able to fit before Michael could right now. I think Michael's got a bigger front porch than I do.
Yeah,
sure. I really do.
His words.
His words.
His words.
His words. Well, I don't wish Michael any ill will. I'm just saying it would be kind of cool if Michael came back.
It would be. It would
dominated
be.
There.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, Mario's
driven Marco. They should enter Marco.
So.
All
right. I think he would be racing, right? Some ovals or just Indy 500 only?
Just Indy 500. But it would be nice with more ovals on there. I'd like to see him come back and do more races. Hmm. He could be like the Takuma Sato of Andretti Racing.
Could, yeah.
Would be fun.
Other.
Hold on, I'm refreshing. Hold on, nothing new.
Oh,
sorry. No update.
We covered Malukas, and there wasn't anything new.
Oh, you know what we missed? Jamie Chadwick got a test.
Oh yeah, that's right. I didn't.
That's right.
That's exciting and news.
Yeah,
that
Did it happen
and
already?
And I think no, it hasn't happened yet. But I think your teammate Louis Foster is also going to get a test. He's very good too.
Yes. Yep.
Really good. Very impressed by him as I am of Jamie. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Quick NASCAR news! Quick NASCAR news!
Oh,
Eric Jones signed an extension. Oh. On his
we need the real news.
not worrying about some ham and egg signing with Legacy Motor Club.
Yeah, there should be just like an option to meet Ricky Stenhouse and Austin Dillon in one setting and just be like, what was that night like? Can you tell me what August 11th was like?
Oh, yeah. It was, I mean, I seriously laughed my ass off when Stenhouse brought the yellow out. I was like, thank God there's a God. And then,
crap. God's like, yep, that's right.
That's right. I mean, honestly, if that kid did not have I swear, I don't know who would have got to him first, Logano or Hamlin. I don't know who would have killed him.
I would have guessed Denny Hamlin, but I'm surprised he was as calm as he was. He just,
I think Denny tries not to do it and get too wound up, because I don't think MJ's like all about that. You know, I think MJ kind of wants you to be kind of cool, even though he's on Gibbs, you know. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look good with Denny, because he's a car owner. Mm-hmm. You know?
I know. Come on. Where's the Denny Hamlin that attacked Brad Keselowski? Like Matt Kenseth that attacked Brad Keselowski. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. I'm a Keselowski fan, but I kind of, you know, come on, Dennis.
Yeah. I kind of wish it was bad.
Put our balls on the table, right? Come on.
Because if bad Brad got wrecked, he would have went after him.
Yeah, that's two owners going at it. That would have made my year.
Brad going after Dylan. That would have been awesome.
See?
Anyway, all right. Well, Nate, thanks for taking time to join us for this epic NASCAR coverage. I mean, I think we might have lost the two listeners we had, but.
Yeah, hey, listen, like I said, I couldn't bite my tongue on this.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't believe what I was. You saw what I was texting you. I was just like,
yeah.
I can't
wait till you try and get your shipmates to. Enjoy the spectacle that is NASCAR.
Well, do you want to hear something? The classmate I'm going to, on the ship with.
I wasn't talking to classmates. Yes,
Hold on. This is a good story.
So wait, Sean, I tell you, you know, this guy, his name's Max. He's from Ohio. But what ended up happening was I showed him NASCAR. He knows Max Verstappen. He knows F1. He's just never seen a NASCAR race. So I was like, all right, I got the TV on. Here it is. Let's watch it. And so I'm watching it, and he's, you know, watching the end. And I'm like, I can't believe what happened. There's overtime. You're about to see overtime. It's crazy. And then I was like, about to like throw. Seriously, I was about to throw the TV out the window and throw the remote. I couldn't believe what I was watching. He's like, damn, is that legal? And I'm like, it shouldn't be.
Oh, so it was this race.
Yeah, this was his first race he watched. Oh. That's kind of rough.
That's epic.
That's crazy, right? Crazy.
That's epic.
Jeez.
Epic.
Right. That's a tough first NASCAR race to watch.
Well, there you go. Very exciting.
The only speaking of Verstappen and F1, the only news that I've heard in there is just some rumor that Aston Martin is trying to sign Verstappen and Newey at the same time.
You saw that post, right? Where the beach ball had the number 33 on it.
Yeah, they made a post today of, oh, we're on summer break. Hope you're enjoying it, as a beach ball goes by with the number 33 on it. And I'm like, okay. All right. We'll see. We'll kind of, again, I mean, with anything, we'll believe it when we see it, especially these days, because there's been so much going around. But
Who are they going to park?
That's the interesting topic of it, of like, do you actually sit out your son and put forward the two guys that are actually going to develop that car?
What are you talking about? Sit out. It's basically like, okay, playtime's over. You can go, you know,
like
play tennis
there.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Over there.
Yeah.
So, No. They're going to put him in the like second Valkyrie, like in IMSA.
They won't even put him in WEC.
They'll send him to IMSA.
Yeah.
And they're only run the endurance series, so he can't. It's only three races.
Very limited.
Anyway. Anything else? That's it. I refreshed again. No news.
No.
I'm gonna place a call to NASCAR headquarters right now.
Right. Hey, Steve Phelps.
I'm gonna ask for Elton Sawyer, please.
Steve O'Donnell. What the hell's going on?
Yeah. What's going on?
What do you call this?
Anyway.
One last thing. The McMurdy set the uphill at the Corkscrew Hill climb that they had out at Laguna Seca. Yeah.
Yeah. They brought it over?
So there's a hill climb that Laguna Seca has, where they go from basically from like the start finish line reverse up the track to the top of the corkscrew.
They go down to the hairpin, like at the final corner.
They go to the final corner, then at the right there, then make the left
backwards all the way up.
Yep, up to the top of the hill, and then when you get to the top of the hill, that's up there is where the finish line is.
Yeah, and then they have it down the hill,
and then they'll come back down, whatever. But yeah, they brought the McMurtry there, and they did it.
Is there video of this?
There is video somewhere. I saw them, but the time. So the second place and third place cars were a 1967 Ford Falcon, driven
nice.
By Martin Lauber, and he did it in a 29.004 seconds. Third place was a 2022 Ferrari SF90, driven by Christine Sloss, apologies.
Yeah, I don't know. That. I have no idea who these people are.
29.8, so, all right, and then the McMurtry.
Who drove the McMurtry?
Max Chilton.
Chilton?
He won.
Oh, my God.
By 10 seconds? By 7 seconds, and did it in a 21.9. So,
you hear this? I mean, Max Chilton and him in that car, they have the track record at Goodwood.
He did it at almost.
Does he or did Dumas beat it this year?
Where?
At Goodwood. Dumas. Who's got the?
No. There was no track record broken at Goodwood this year.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, because the McMurtry just showed up as a demo car. It was there, but it didn't.
Yeah, no,
like, it didn't go for time.
No,
which
no.
is like it's why Mc, not?
But the McMurtry the previous time I think still had it.
Oh yeah, the thing was friggin'.
Oh yeah, it was ridiculous.
I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
it's nuts.
The second generation didn't try and beat the first gen. I don't think.
Oh man, so Ford's got to bring the Supervan to Laguna next year.
Yeah, that would be good.
That'd be fun. All right.
But yeah.
All right. And on that note, Nate.
Good night.
Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavender. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.